Thanks for joining us on the Learner Podcast. We're here today with author-illustrator Chris Monroe, who, among many other things, has created the Monkey with a Tool Belt series, which follows industrious monkey Chico Bonbon, who shows readers there's an inventive way out of every problem, if you have the right tools. Welcome to the Learner Podcast, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little of the history of Chico Bonbon?
Well, the book came out in 2008, and it was kind of a brainstorm that I had. I had talked to Adam Lerner at an art opening that I had in the Twin Cities, and I had illustrated one book for Lerner, and he mentioned that they were kind of looking for a new project for me to illustrate. And since I was a cartoonist, he said, "Have you ever considered writing your own book?" And I said, my entire life, yes, I have. So he said, "Well, if you ever do that, you could send me the manuscript." So I went back to my home in Duluth and really started to ponder that. And at the time, I worked at a hardware store, part-time job. And one of the things I did there was I was the toy buyer. And at the time, Bob the Builder was really the only kind of tool using character. And I thought, there sure is a lot of, open space here for a character that could use tools that could be a lot more funny and cute than Bob the Builder. No offense to him, he's fine. But so that was kind of the inspiration, which was a character that could use tools. And, you know, I thought a monkey is the obvious choice because of his dexterity. And the minute that I came up with the phrase monkey with a tool belt, I just knew it was right. I just knew it was good. And then it was just a process of trying to figure out, how do I write a children's book? And basically, I kind of approached it the same way that I wrote my comics, which was kind of, initially kind of just one idea and then build off of that. And my son was pretty young at that time, too, and he kind of helped me just brainstorm some fun ideas for the character. And then one afternoon when I was driving, I just started writing a rough draft, mainly because I was driving a really rusty old car and a very nice car passed me on the road. And I thought, oh man, I have to change something here. And so I don't really recommend driving and writing at the same time, but I did jot down a few notes, and then took that home and wrote the first draft of Monkey with a Tool Belt, and ended up sending it to Adam, and he liked it and passed it on to an editor and the acquisitions committee, and they said, yeah, let's do it. So from there on, I was in the world of the Monkey with a Tool Belt. And then the great part of that is that the success of the series enabled me to quit my part-time job at the hardware store. So
that's the outcome every part-time author is hoping for right there.
Yeah. I wasn't too sure that it would happen, but right out of the gate, Monkey with a Tool Belt won a lot of awards. And at the time, I remember thinking, oh, this must just happen to all books. And then, after doing, 9 more books or whatever, I realized that is not the case. So it was just kind of something that I almost feel was meant to be.
It's a good indication that you have something special.
Oh, thank you.
And now there's a Netflix animated show. You wrote some of the scripts for the show. What was that like?
Well, I actually just wrote one of the scripts for season one. And I did submit, I think it was like maybe 5 ideas, but it was really fun. Writing a script, it was a lot more collaborative, and so they kind of, I don't know if they were humoring me, but they kept telling me I was doing a really great job, and it went really quickly because just with their help and their input, it just kind of just flew, and it was suddenly done, and it was just really fun kind of learning the process of, screenwriting as opposed to picture book writing. Definitely, quicker.
What is your process for coming up with a Chico Bonbon book and then for illustrating it?
It's often there's something that sparks an idea or I get inspired by, you know, a random thing. And often it's just an image in my head. Like, for example, the Seaside Shenanigans. I just had this image of water bursting out of a water slide and a whole bunch of little animals just like rocketing out, and then Chico Bon Bon having to fix that. So I kind of often have just one idea, and then I sort of brainstorm just random ideas and try to link them together. And then I just sit down at a computer, and once I have a little stack of ideas, I just write a first draft. And then with the help of Carol, my editor, kind of dial that in over time. And once we get that, we have to break it down to the 32 pages. And then I do a storyboard of what art will look good, or, you know, work for each page. And there's certain things in every monkey book that I have to have in there. There's the big detail page and the rhyming page and the sequential panel page. So I work all those in. And then once everybody's on board with the storyboard, then I draw every page in pencil first. And then if that's approved, I go ahead and paint those actual pages with, I use gouache and ink. So the pencil pages that I draw, I actually paint over those. So I only draw the final art one time. And then they take the originals and scan them in and drop them in to the book and go from there.
What do you hope that readers take away from the books?
Well, you know, for me, the books, I've never really tried to have an overt like message. Mainly, I want them to just be silly, fun, and funny. And I hope that the takeaway is, you know, just a few giggles and amusement. But also, I do think that there is maybe a deeper takeaway, which is, you know, Chico Bon Bon is a very calm, capable hero, and he uses his tools and he keeps his cool. And I hope kids maybe get something out of that as far as problem solving, that, you know, they can solve problems too. And even though I don't try to have an overt message, it seems like one always kind of pops out at the end, perhaps. And I think a lot of it is about friendship too, because he's always helping out his friends. And Clark is kind of an interesting character in that he, you know, he makes mistakes that Chico fixes. But in the Maniac Muffin book, I took Clark's mistakes, and his mistakes caused the problem, but then his mistakes also fixed the problem. So I think that's one message I always try to impart to kids when I'm talking to them, like at schools and things, is don't worry about mistakes. Mistakes can be good. So I think that's kind of one thing that I would like to kids to get out of the books too, is just that don't worry, you can do it. You can solve this problem. And maybe a love of tools too. Hopefully it'll impart some interest in using tools.
I think that definitely comes through, and it's true. If there's no mistake, there's no story.
That's right. Yes, there has to be a plot.
You talked a little bit about this when describing how this image came to you of the animals in the water slide, but what else inspires you?
Well, you know, it's funny, the things that inspire. I mean, there's certain, you know, actual things that have inspired different books, like the Bug on a Bike book. I had a little a windmill of a bug riding a bicycle that was in my garden, and I used to sit and watch the wheels spin on it and think that would be the cutest little character. So kind of, I think inspiration is just sort of paying attention to the things in your surroundings, and then just being able to process those into a creative outlet. Other things just kind of put me in the inspirational mode, or mood somewhat, of, you know, nature and music and friendship and art, really other people's art. And sometimes if I just don't really have a lot of ideas, I love going to a museum and looking at paintings. And looking at paintings always just triggers some sort of creative like fire inside of me, and really helps with my inspiration, because ideas are, you know, 99% of the whole situation of writing a children's book.
Building off of that, who or what has influenced you?
I definitely have been influenced by a lot of other illustrators, and I was really a nerdy kid who loved reading, and I for sure Richard Scarry books influenced me. And I also was kind of a TV kid in a way too. I loved the show Captain Kangaroo, and there was Mr. Moose and Bunny Rabbit, and they're kind of pranksters, and I loved that about them. And I think the Muppets are another influence. Just even in the way I draw, with like kind of round heads and big eyes, it's kind of Muppet-like. And I have to say that that would probably be an influence that I didn't even realize for a long time. Dr. Seuss obviously probably has influenced everybody who wants to write children's books and draw. And just his imagination inspires me. And as far as illustrators, I know when I was a young girl, I really loved Hilary Knight and Garth Williams, just the way that they drew people with sort of the sweetness in the faces, and then just a little bit of humor just in the art alone. That definitely inspirations.
Where would you like to go for fun?
Well, you know, that's kind of changed now. I would like to go into the past where we could go with our friends everywhere. The pandemic has really kind of made me adjust my thinking on that. I sort of have two, in a perfect world, I have two places I'd love to go for fun. I'd love to travel, and I'd love to go to Mexico or the Caribbean and just kind of hang out on the beach and do nothing and grill food at a little condo somewhere or cabana and just hang out on the beach in the shade because I sunburn. That would be a really, really fun thing for me to do. But, you know, another thing I would love to do is I'd love to go to Europe to the museums and all of the Christmas markets. And my sister and I did that one year. We went to Sweden and Denmark, and it was so fun just drinking wine and hanging out and going to the Christmas markets. And now I just don't even know what's going to happen with all that. When are the Christmas markets going to be back? I'm optimistic. I'm kind of a lazy hanger-outer type of person that when I'm having fun, I'm not really like going to be skiing the Alps or something anytime soon.
You talked about some of your influences, but what books did you like to read as a child, and what do you like to read now as an adult?
Well, I remember my mom buying me Richard Scarry, What Do People Do All Day? And I must have read that 1,000 times or more. I still have the copy, but the covers aren't even attached anymore. My mom was a real voracious reader, so she really encouraged reading and, you know, just creative pursuits. But I really loved, when I was really little, I liked the Robert McCloskey books, like Blueberries for Sale. And I loved the In the Night Kitchen by Maurice Sendak. And I liked Madeline. When I got old enough to read, I really loved the Betsy Tacy Tibb books, the Little House on the Prairie books. I read a lot of books. I liked the Diamond in the Window series and Mary Poppins. And I liked books about like funny girls like Beezus and Ramona. And from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Baselie Frankweiler, Harriet the Spy. Oh, yeah. And then Ed Emberley, too, had the How to Draw books. Probably that's how I learned how to draw.
From books. That's what you've come full circle.
Yeah, exactly. And I still read a lot. You know, I love graphic novels and comics. But I'm also a really aficionado of celebrity biographies. I love when they have a lot of, you know, dirt and gossip. I just finished Elton John, Me, and that was really good. So, and I also, there's a series called The Spellman Files that are hilarious. Anything by Donna Tartt, I've always liked her books. And I particularly liked her book, The Little Friend.
Thank you so much for your time, Chris. It's been wonderful to learn more about how you create these silly, fun, and beloved books.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us here on the Learner Podcast. Tune in again next time for more author interviews and the stories behind the books.